Good evening, and welcome to our CE program. The topic is the four loves, and just to explain that and set the scene a little bit, in his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis describes four types of love: affection, such as the love between family members; friendship, the love between a man and a woman; and charity, God's selfless love, which he imparts to us. Lewis explains that the first three are natural loves, and if they are to be acceptable to God, they must be transformed and sanctified by charity. We'll have opening song by Dale Wheadle and opening prayer by Darren Palomino.
Take this book, Gospel Hymns, turn to song number 185. The Wonder of Love.
There's something I know I plainly can see, so gently it comes and settles on me.
Good evening. I was impressed with that song. says the wonder of love. It really is a wonder how God's love works. I have a few verses here I'm going to read. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We'll start there. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." That last few words there in that last verse says, God is love. It's kind of the foundation for any relationship, whether it be in a marriage or just a friendship or whatever it may be. Really, having God in our hearts, accepting God in our lives, to me is the only way to have that love and to express that love to those around us. You know, we're human. We have our different emotions and stuff, but really, if we're going to be steady, if we're going to be steadfast in that and having that love in our hearts and lives, it only takes one thing. It takes knowing God. It says in the verse before that, it says, is born of God and knoweth God. I don't know if that's talking about being born again, being of God, but it says knoweth God. And I think if we know God, we know what he did. Farther on in this chapter, it talks about how God sent Jesus down to the earth to die for us. And that is part of that. I think what that song says, the wonder of love, we don't know why he did it. He wouldn't have had to have. Jesus wouldn't have had to have died for us. We needed it, but he wouldn't have had to, but yet he did. That love that we can't even fathom. And it's an amazing thing. There's been a thought that kind of stuck in my mind, and it's having more of God in my life and less of me is really the key to this all. So let's kneel to pray. Our Father in heaven, to come before you this new day, we thank you for this beautiful weather, Lord. We thank you for the rain you sent us. Thank you, Lord, for your love and that you love us and that you care for us and you made a way for us, that it's because of your love that we can be here. You speak to each one that has a part, to have a calmness of heart and mind, and just help us, Lord, that we can live for you and someday have a home with you in heaven. Pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for those parts. We will now have thoughts by Clay Bass on the topic of love in the family, followed by two songs by the Lovings family, Randy in Charge.
Good evening. It's good to be here this evening. Love in the family. C.S. Lewis, just for a little explanation, he calls this type of love affection. And he says this affection is the humblest and the quietest of the four loves that he writes about. He says it doesn't need a noisy platform or a lot of volume to operate on. It's just something, a quiet decision in our heart. As I thought of family, my mind went a lot of different direction, I guess. Of course, it went to my children and our home, and then brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of different situations in our congregation. If we have grown siblings, we have brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, and quite a few have grown children, and you have sons-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, and there's father-in-laws and mother-in-laws. There's nephews, nieces, grandpas and grandmas. There's a few you have stepchildren. So it encompasses numerous relationships and numerous opportunities to grow and to be tried and to practice this love. Just kind of as a beginning thought, I have a question for us. And I thought about it a lot. If I or if you were commissioned to write the love chapter, if you was inspired to write it, and you come to verse 4 there where it says the marks of love and how to explain love, and you started out and you said love is, what would be your next word? How would you describe love is? I thought about it quite a bit before I went and read that chapter. Would you say it's feeling happy or being appreciated, being accepted, being popular? Then I went and read the chapter. I kind of forgot what it said, but it says love suffereth long and is kind. That's the first definition of love. It's long-suffering and it's kind. It endureth long and it's just kind. I thought that was a powerful definition. I might, as a closing thought, I might come back to that 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit. If there were some other explanations that were impressive to me. When I was first given this topic, I thought of a saying that I had saved and memorized quite some time back, and I thought it fit this. And it said, you can have ego or you can win. Rarely can you have both. You can have ego or you can win. Rarely can you have both. And there is a family, a pretty good sized family I want to talk about a little bit, and it's they're long ways away, many states away, and they're a little bit different denomination than us, so I would be surprised if anybody knows anybody of them, and so I can talk freely about them, I think. But I have been intrigued many times with them and studied them and wondered how they work together. But the father, I think he's around 70 now, and when he was young, 45 years ago maybe, he started a business, a commercial and industrial electrical business, and he actually retired from it 5 or 6 years ago. And he has a large family himself, and I know for sure 4 grown sons that work together in this business. And I would not be surprised if there were some sons-in-laws that I don't know about that work together there too. And these 4 sons, they're my age, they're in the mid-40s, I'd say between 40 and 50. And so they all have pretty good sized families, and they have numerous children, sons that are married and in the business. And I have often pondered how that works, just knowing my experiences in my life. And it's a very successful business. They employ 90-100 employees in their business, and I would say maybe 20 or 30 of them are probably family members. And I guess I look at them and say that they're winning. They are truly winning. And it's impressive to me the vision and the training that the father had and how he passed that on to the children, that no matter what, we are going to make this work and we're going to get along. And it's working. And furthermore, there's a couple of the brothers have interest in ranching and the Western way of life more. And so they've invested in a ranch and some livestock. And so in their off time away from their family business, a couple of the brothers work together in this business. And they take their vacations together and work together there. They've just been an inspiration to me many times. I thought of all the different ideas and the ways of doing things and the different people, the in-laws, and the different mix, and how it just works. And beyond that, I've been impressed and many times with how they operate their business. I've watched them work in a long-suffering way. They have a yearling bull and horse sale, and I know of several situations where they've been taken advantage of, people didn't pay, and they were owed money. we've had some spiritual discussions with a couple of the brothers that I know very well, and just their example, and how they've told me too that God has blessed them many times by being non-resistant and by keeping an open relationship. Then I think of my life and just the little battles I have of laying my ego down, even telling my children I love them, telling them I'm proud of them and proud to be their father, and how I have to have a little battle of ego just for that little area. But then the look of security and confidence I see on their face, it makes it worth it. I thought of a few families in the Bible too, since it's on families. I thought of Cain and Abel, how love did not rule that situation, did it? It didn't work. I thought of Jacob and Esau. We know that didn't work out either. But then I thought of Joseph and his brothers, and how Joseph, it struck me that he lived the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, long before it was written. He was kind. He didn't seek his own. He was extremely long-suffering for years and years. He just suffered. And he wasn't easily provoked, and he thought no evil. And one of the descriptions of love is that love never faileth. And that's part of that winning, I think. Even in Joseph's life, he went years and years, but in the end, love won out. Back on this 1 Corinthians 13, of all the attributes and descriptions of love, it never did say what love will do for me and how it will make me feel. And if it makes me feel happy or what it does for me. It does say what it will do if I don't have it, how I'll be like if I don't have it, how I'll be absolutely nothing, I'll be useless. But all the descriptions of love in the whole chapter I read was just about giving and serving, about enduring, about putting our pride down, and just living for others. May God bless us.
Thank you for those parts. Now we will have thoughts by Jerome on the topic of love and friendship, followed by two women's group songs, Melissa in Charge.
Well, I find it quite difficult to get up here and share thoughts. So I wrote mine down. I'm going to read it. I have enjoyed studying this. I truly have. It's been interesting. It's done me some good. One of the purest and most enduring forms of love exists in friendships. The true love of friendship is not driven by possessions or expectations, but by mutual understandings, trust, and truly wanting the best for a person. At its root, friendship is built on acceptance. True love and friendship see one another clearly, including flaws and imperfections. This acceptance creates a space where we can be honest without the fear of judgment. True love and friendship allows people to be themselves, unguarded and genuine. It's not a friendship founded on obligation or convenience, but on a deep, almost spiritual loyalty. My closest non-Holdeman friend and I made a pact early on in our relationship. We agreed to never speak ill of one another at any time, any place, to anybody. Then we looked each other in the eye and shook hands. That loyalty should be taken for granted with our church brothers and sisters, but I am often guilty of losing sight of the true love in friendships. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Another defining feature of love and friendship is a quiet generosity. Friends give of their time and attention and care without keeping score. True friends stop by and sit with you on your tailgate or on your couch while you fold laundry. You can laugh together, cry together, or just sit in silence, and when you part ways, your cup is overflowing and you have courage to go forward. Real friendships never, never need drama to survive, but often encourage growth with unspoken words. True friends may go years without speaking daily, yet their bond remains intact because it's rooted in genuine care. This freedom makes friendships resilient, capable of surviving our busy lives and differing circumstances. I am often amazed at some of Sarah's friendships, where weeks, if not months, pass before WhatsApp messages are replied to. My closing thought is of a statement I heard a long time ago, but think of it often. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. When I think of that thought, I often tether it with the spiritual realm, but I do believe it's relevant with every part of our life, hobbies, occupations, physical health, spiritual health, etc. Let's not forget to be friends. Let's not forget to love.
Thank you.
Thank you for those parts. We will now have thoughts by Keith Schmidt on the topic of love in marriage. And Garen and Joe, looks like you're here. We'll have a duet by Garen and Joe after the talk.
Good evening. I've enjoyed the topic. Don't enjoy being up here necessarily, but I guess maybe my topic is love and marriage. Maybe the Lord knew I needed a second chance at this one. So anyway, as I was thinking about that, I got a little inspiration. I scanned across the congregation in my mind, and I saw many, many happy marriages. In fact, I couldn't even come up with one that was unhappy. So I stand here this evening, and I am impressed with that thought that God is good to us. And I think there's reasons for that. I just share a few thoughts here. Came across another little piece of information. Yes, it was Googled. Came across a little piece of information that I found intriguing. It said that marriage has not been romanticized until the last 200 years. The vast majority of marriages throughout time have been prearranged, or they were based on social status or prosperity. You can think about that. I found that very interesting. And yet, I believe throughout time, marriages have been happy, a good thing, a happy thing. There was one verse that, as I was studying it, I went through and I looked up quite a bit. There isn't just a lot in the Bible about how to have happy, successful marriages. We all know it doesn't say to buy your wife flowers on Valentine's Day. We know that. It doesn't say take them out for supper. It doesn't say take the trash out. But it's part of it. I was reading and I come across a verse. I feel like I'm skipping around here a little bit, but I want to go to a thought. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." That little phrase in there, according to knowledge, stuck out to me. And I pondered that. I wondered what was the knowledge that God wanted us to have. What is that? My mind went back to the creation story. And I feel like to understand marriage, marital love, it's like it's been said already, God's name has been mentioned many times already this evening. Darren talked about it in the opening. It was said in, I think, every song almost. But the basis of a happy marriage, I feel like we have to
certain understanding of God Himself. And I went back to the creation story. The opening statement of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." And then it goes into the creation story. And I pondered that a little bit. And I wondered about God Himself. Does a marriage relationship tell us a lot about God? Was the marriage relationship made in God's own image? I wondered. God, I've often wondered what the discussion was in heaven before God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, however that was exactly, I'm not sure, but how that conversation went. I've pondered that. There was a choice made there. And I have wondered about that. There was a choice made to make the earth, to put people in there that would by choice serve Him. And we know how God created the earth. He created the garden. He created it perfectly. Perfect. And I wondered about that as I thought about it. As young couples get together, they make a choice. And the opening days of their marriage, we often refer to it as the honeymoon. And I wondered if there was a part of that was even as it was in the beginning with God's creation, the time that Adam and Eve spent in the garden. And I wondered about that too as I thought about it. It seemed like there came a time where the ultimate choice is what brought God the honor and glory. We know that there was a fall, and that was disappointing. And yet, from then on, it was a choice they made. And that's how it is in our marriages, too. It is a choice we make. And that is where the depth, the true joy comes in our marriages. I really believe that. We have to admit the honeymoon passes over and real life sets in. And then it is up to our choice. And yes, again, I believe that is the true, where we as couples find true joy is by choice serving one another, giving ourselves to one another. That is what brings stability, strength, all those things to us. I had just one more thought here, and it's a little bit more down to real life. Another choice that we have to make is to choose to understand our spouse. And this is a real life experience. Geraldine knows what I'm going to share. It's safe. We got married 4.5 years ago, almost closer to 5 now. But as we got married, her birthday came around. I don't remember what the first occasion was, and I hotshotted off to the flower shop, and I came home with flowers. And I was feeling pretty good about that. You know, I had remembered to bring her flowers, and but I noticed, maybe not so much the first time. Yeah, she thanked me. She gave me a hug and a kiss. And We went on. But I noticed the flyers just sat there on the counter. Okay, that's fine. Next time, I don't know what the next occasion was, I got her flowers again. And about the same thing replayed itself again. And I started wondering, okay, does she really like flowers? I think it was the third time before I realized this was not her love language. And I have since asked her, and we have talked about it, what she would really like from me is an hour of my time to sit down and go into a deep discussion. She would choose that over flowers, over roses. But you know what? It is easier for me to go buy flowers. I would prefer to do that. I don't care if I spend $75. It would still be easier for me to do that. But that is her love language. And us men, sometimes we have to dig around and find out what our wife's love languages are and learn to speak it. And I think we will do well. Thank you.
Got some pretty good advice.
Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. Lord, make me a servant, do what you must do. You make me a servant, make me like you. Lord, teach me to serve you, just use me today, and teach me the I'm walking this way. You know that I love you, so help me to see and help me to walk, Lord, closer to thee. Please don't let me wander. Please don't let me stray. And help me to feel you whenever I pray. Lord, make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you.
Thank you for that. We will have thoughts by Marshall on God's love in the Christian's life, followed by two congregational songs led by Lyle.
Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God's love is a huge topic. It's something that each one of us have had come in contact with. I don't think there's a person here that can say they aren't here tonight because of God's love in their life or what he's done for them. I looked up. It said the heading was charity, and I looked up the meaning of a biblical charity, and it says God's love is unconditional, sacrificial, and fundamental force that transforms believers, offering security, forgiveness, and purpose. I don't know, I had some verses that I looked up here. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, what I was looking for a verse that of God's love and creation, or how something down that line, and I really couldn't find much, but I do believe God gave us creation. When everything started, he created the world for his honor and glory, but also for us to enjoy and to see his love. I think of so many things in nature, of a baby calf or a human baby, of how amazing God's love to me that shows. It's just amazing to me. In so many ways, it can be in the rain the other morning of God's love. He's looking out for us. And then I guess the next one would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved me, he loved you so much that he gave his Son to die. And we've heard about many kinds of love tonight, and maybe there is some of that would actually give that kind of sacrifice, but it's doubtful. God gave the ultimate sacrifice for each one of us. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I guess the next step was when he Jesus had died on the cross, and then God sent the Holy Spirit for each one of us. And that's another sign of his love for us. That guiding hand, that voice that tells us, gives us guidance through each and every day of our life. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think of God's grace in our life, the way he lets us, we can communicate with him through prayer. if we do not feel God's love in our life, in our hearts, we can ask Him, we can go to Him to help us, to guide us with whatever comes our way.
Let's take our Christian hymnal and sing 548. Don't mind, let's stand. Got a next song I have, I'll sing by memory. But yeah, let's start with 548. Blessed be the tie. Song, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river, joy like a fountain, love like an ocean. It makes me love everybody. I think we all know this one good enough. So
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. Joy like a fountain, I got joy like a fountain.
Thank you to each one of you who willingly did your parts that made it possible for all of us to have a meditation on love and God's love and how it affects our lives. Does anyone have any announcements? If not, we choose Jason and Steph for the next committee members. Let's all stand for closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you at the end of this service, and we thank you for your great love for us, by which you created us and through which you invite us back to yourself. And we thank you for all the ways your love is shown in our lives, and we can give that love to others. We just pray that you would be near us as we go forward into this week and bless each one. Help us to love and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.